All right, let's go ahead and put that beat on them one time. Brothers, help me sing. Come on. Do y'all hear the brotherhood? Let them play it again.
You know,
had to change their songs.
Sometimes in life,
feel this anointing as we go into this
place. Where you may look to the left or the right, and you can't find any answers, and you can't find anybody to help you. But I'm reminded of the word that says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on. You got to learn how to wait.
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. On you, Lord.
Come on, somebody, for
I don't mind waiting.
Yes, sir. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Praise the Lord, everybody. And everybody just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The time now is 9 o'clock on the top of the hour, September 4th, the first Monday and Friday of the month. And I'm excited about the app dimension. Amen. Thank you for all those that are tuning in from the East Coast to the West Coast, any international callers. We appreciate you this day. It might be morning time over there. It might be evening time. It's evening time over here, definitely. But wherever time zone you find yourself in, you are in the right place to be taken. I always say, tell people, be postured correctly. Be in the right position. The position deals with our stance. Our posture deals with our heart. You know, be positioned and postured correctly, and God will be right there to take you where he is. So I'm excited today to be on this particular platform. I was excited all day, all weekend. I've been cooking and really enjoying my new home here in Petersburg, Virginia. And each region I go to, I'm very cognizant of what my surroundings are. I begin to do what I call spiritual assessments on the regions wherever God sends me, whether it's to live or just to be at a point of ministry. But it's important to know the region that you live in. So right now, this is what's been in my heart to give to the people on this month, dealing with regional restoration or restoring regional DNA. The Lord gave me this message some time ago, way back in the beginning of my ministry. I want to say maybe 5 years into my ministry. And he showed me the importance of understanding the region that you live in, understanding of how to communicate to your region, how to have your region communicate to you and bring a harvest out of that particular area geographically that you're living in and that we're living in. So many people I've heard oftentimes, oh, I don't really want to live here. I don't like this particular city. I hope God don't send me here. I hope he don't send me there. Let me tell you this. You will never benefit from the region that you don't like. Right there. We won't start right there. You will never benefit from a region that you have an alt with. How do we expect as leaders to really see a harvest out of a place that we don't even trust with our life? We haven't laid down. We don't feel a burden for it. All we're doing is taking up space. My job tonight is to get you excited about where you are, right where you are. I mean, whether you've been there for a month or whether you've been there for a year or a few years or a few decades, whatever the time limit that you've been in this particular place or regional or geographical location, you need to really assess that place and say, God, is this a place that you want me there, want me at, or want me here? My understanding is this. You know, any place that God sends you means that you are in his will. So if the place is rough, if the place is easy, it should take some type of joy to be resurrected in you to know that I'm in the center of God's will. Wherever God places you, you should be happy. You might not like the conditions, but you should be happy that you're in the center of God's will. And wherever God has sent me, he has sent me to some very hard regions. But what took the blunt of the hardness away, what made everything better, hallelujah, was the fact that I knew that God called me there. When he first sent me over to Indiana back in 2000, he sent me to one of the hardest places in Indiana, and it was Gary, Indiana. It was at that time, it was the murder capital of the United States for 7 years straight. And he sent me there to that region, and all I saw was tumbleweeds, trash, and abandoned buildings, and all types of foolery running around, you know, the vice lords and the folks. gangs, you know, people, the murdering and the crime rate was at an all-time high. And I'm like, God, why did you send me to this place? Is there anybody living here? You know, I had to really think about this thing. And God, when he sent me there and said, go, he began to prepare places that I would be able to be taken care of. And what made me appreciative, even though the climate and the culture and the city itself was such at a bad, terrible state, I felt joy in being in the midst of it because I knew that God called me there. I knew that God sent me there. The region will call out to you. The region will petition God for you. Hallelujah. The region, the reason why you're in the place where you're in is because the region, the blood of innocence has reached the ears of God. And it says, send me Dietrich. Send me Roslyn. Send me Tom. Send me Bob. Send me Edward. Send us. Come over, hallelujah, and help us. The man of Macedonia said to Apostle Paul, he said, we need your help. When Apostle Paul, thank you, Holy Spirit, was searching and going towards Asia Minor in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost quickened Paul and told him not to go to Asia Minor, told him not to go to these places because they were not going to receive the word. And because Paul listened to the Holy Spirit, he was then able to hear the region that petitioned him to come over and bring them help. Hallelujah. I wish somebody on this line today had a burden for their city. And the reason why you don't have a burden for the city is because you don't really believe that God has called you there. So you can't restore any place that you don't have a burden for. You can't restore any region that you don't have a burden for. Come on, Nehemiah. The Bible said Nehemiah had a burden for Jerusalem. He wanted to restore the walls of Jerusalem. And because he had that burden, because he had that passion, and because he had that drive, the burden became evident. It became a part of his being. And it start ooing from his pores and ooing from his spirit until he received kingly help. He received governmental help through paperwork and through assistance and through tools and through people. That the region start raising up certain individuals, people, places, and things to help him facilitate the burden that was on his heart, which was to restore the region of Jerusalem. And he start with one brick at a time. You will never restore anything you don't have a burden for. So my job tonight is to show you why you need to reassess where you are. You need the reason why your region has called and petitioned God for you. Your region has said, God, send me an apostle. Lord, send us a prophet. Send us an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher that will come in and bring us restoration. And we have lost our hearing. We have not put our ear to the ground. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I believe it's in Jeremiah 7, around verse 34, it says, I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. Well, if you look in your regions, if you look in our cities, there's such desolate. It's desolate because God has removed the voice of the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? The bridegroom is Christ. God has removed his son's voice from the midst of us because we have mishandled his voice. We have mishandled his presence. So God says, I'm not going to continue to give my son's presence or my presence because he is God. And I'm not going to continue to lend you my presence so you can do with it as you will. So I'm going to remove it. Whenever you see a desolate region, you know that the bridegroom's voice is not there. You know that the voice of the Lord is not there. This is why God begins to remove prophets. He begins to remove prophets out of the midst of certain cities and transition them into other cities that will be more beneficial to their calling and to their anointing. Because, you know, we all know, we've all quoted it plenty of times, a prophet is not without honor except in his own city. This is why a lot of us are wanting to move. This is why a lot of us have a lot of disdain in our hearts. We actually hate our cities. We actually hate our mayors. I used to hate going into Philadelphia. I used to despise going into that city because, first of all, they got too many one-way streets. You always got to turn around and do something in order to get to the street called street. It's just too much clutter, too much closeness. Everything is so close and tight-knit and congested. Oh, God, I'm getting hives and itching just thinking about, you know, going in and out of all of the little boroughs of New York. And thank God for these places because they need the gospel. But there's certain conditions that God sends people in to bring restoration, to bring affirmation, and to bring a liveliness to, because his voice has been removed because of their disallowance of his spirit being in those places. So God raises up people to go and restore regional DNA or the chromosomes that make up that particular region to make it conducive and habitable for the presence of God. For eons, great men and great women of God, I believe, alike have ran revivals. You know, are we going to have a revival? We don't have crusades. We got conventions. We got conferences. We got campaigns is what I call them. All over the world, we see these things happening. For some of these, God encounters have brought forth fruit and have brought forth lasting change in the life of believers. Yes, they have, and we salute them. And even in their cities, we see notable change, but the majority have watched the fruit of their labor wither away. John 15:16 tells us that the fruit should remain. Hallelujah. The proof of a ministry that's gone into a city or into an individual's life and turn it to the better, the proof is that the fruit of that ministry remains. Not that it pops up, not that it grows, but it remains, because things that are not a grown of God and has not had the chief husbandman and the chief vineyard keeper, if he's not in the midst, they will soon wither away. And we've had mighty men run these different types of gatherings, but their fruit pop up and then they leave. Why don't people change though the power of God is evident around them? Why do people change? Why do people change but revert back to their old ways? Well, I'm glad you asked. I believe God has given us the answers to these questions. Their spiritual DNA has been infiltrated or altered. The only reason why they're looking holy today and unholy tomorrow, the only reason why they're experiencing God in their church services but not in their homes, is because their climates and their DNAs are off. Oh, my goodness. Listen, DNA, you know, we got to understand what DNA is. We got to understand that DNA is the basic chromosomes or genetic material that make up a person's that transmits their hereditary pattern. It makes the person who the person is. I believe there's about 23 chromosomes in the DNA. So the DNA contains and transmits the hereditary pattern. Hear me now, the pattern of that individual. And the same thing that runs through every human is the same thing that runs within our regions. Our regions have chromosomes. They have materials containing and transmitting the hereditary pattern of that region. And we got to understand that our regions speak to us through patterns. They speak to us through cycles. And it's up to sent ones to realize and to understand these patterns and cycles and be able to change them into the pattern and cycle that is the blueprint of God's heart and not the beat of society. Therefore, regional DNA deals with the spiritual and natural makeup of a people and its land. In order to change a region's DNA, you must determine what it contains. You have to find out what the region you're called to contains, and you find it out by simply watching what it transmits. If you understand that your region, your city, your community, your neighborhood, your city, your nation, your state is producing signs of prostitution, then you understand that perversion and lust are its partial part of its chromosome, it's part of its DNA. And it's up to us to get into and infiltrate these systems and cause it to turn. So we got to find out what the region, the DNA's region is by watching out or watching what it transmits. We can look in our televisions. We can look at our newspapers. We can search the internet. And the best by far I found out is the word of mouth. Are you sure that you're hearing your region correctly? If you're watching the news, if you're reading the newspapers, if the internet is still accessible where you live at, if you got any gossipers around you, talk to a couple of your neighbors. They will show you what the region is all about. If there are sure ways to pick up the frequencies of these transmissions. I'll often say, you know, how in God's name do you have a passport but you don't know your neighbor's name? How are you going to Istanbul and Africa and China and you don't know your next door neighbor across the street? It's the ones that's close to you that you need to watch out for. Because it's those type of people that will tell you what's going on in your neighborhood. Your next door neighbor know more about your house than you do. Uh-oh. Your next door neighbor will tell you what's going on in your city faster than you can click on the internet to search Google. I'm telling you, because if you start linking up with people who have been accustomed to living in this region or in the region that you're living in, then you'll have superimposed wisdom and given to you so you can find out how to engage your city, how to engage the climate of your community, of your neighborhood. Again, you can look at television, you can look at newspapers, you can find out your DNA, what it transmits through the internet, through word of mouth. You got to be able to pick up the frequencies, you got to be able to pick up the transmissions, and these are sure ways to do it. Another sure way to expose the DNA of a region is to study the region's history. One of the things that I had to do when I first moved into Petersburg, Virginia, is I had to understand the history of my city. And the area that I live in is the battlefield or the battlefield area where they had a lot of civil war here. They got statues all over the daggone place. So my mindset is this is a place of war. This is a place of warfare. So I know I need to get on my knees, I need to get on my spiritual guard and start praying and start interceding for anything that will come in to or try to attack me to keep the work from moving forward. So you got to know the history, which will bring the mystery. His story will bring my story. History always brings mystery. If you want revelation, look at the history of a thing. If you want to know what your region is all about, all you have to do is Google your city and Google it and find out the history, and you'll see why certain stores are being able to be accessed and pop up while others can't. You'll understand why zoning is hard for one denomination versus another denomination. You'll see why in certain cities this area is junky and this area is clean. You'll see why the government of the city is corrupt, because the history will expose the mystery. The history of that region will expose the mystery or the revelation that you would need to know on how to get it changed. Take the Holy Spirit. The Bible understood and tells us that in Acts 17 that the people, the apostles, turned the city, the world at that time, which was Rome, upside down. How was they able to turn the world or that system upside down? Because they knew the history. because they understood. They read what was going on. They gathered the transmissions and the frequencies through the actions and the patterns of those cities and of that particular nation of people. The leaders and or ministries that are assigned to a specific area of their region should always do an extensive research of the history of that place that they are sent to. Each city, just as a person, has a spiritual chromosome or spiritual chromosomes. They have DNA that contains and transmits hereditary patterns. It doesn't change. It was like this last year. It was like this the year before. It was like this the year before that. And my mama lived here. My auntie lived here. My great-great-grandmama lived here. And they all experienced the same slavery, the same torment, the same toil, the same tribulation. And now that we live in here, we expect something different. No, why do you expect something different when they have gotten the same mindset and built the whole city based around one spirit? You got to understand that your region is going to show you its DNA by what it transmits, the frequencies, the actions, the verbiages, the languages, the culture. When I was over in Orlando, it was a melting pot of different nationalities and different cultures. It was a spirit of entertainment, not just in the city, but it full flowed over into the churches. It was like a circus. They sounded good and they looked good, but their doctrine was off. They had a spirit of a siren. They had a marine spirit about them over in Orlando. Everything was made to sound and look good, but it was the doctrine that would bring you to your demise, because it was like this for eons, and no revival, no conference, no crusade, no convention, no campaign without consistency, like a hammer, like a laying a siege, like a battering ram. If you're not able to go against the grain of your region, and it's been like that for years, you will become stuck like Chuck, or you will become converted like them. Our job, hallelujah, our job is to convert those who come in the midst of us, not to compromise. This is what we're seeing this right now, even in the entertainment arena. We're seeing this even in the gospel arena. We're seeing artists who have not known their region. They have not known their geographical location within the seven mountains of the entertainment arena. So what they do is they hook up with these worldly singers and worldly rappers, and they begin to compromise. Because they believe their little seed is going to make a difference. No, then I'm going to tell you something. When I was signed to Interscope Records when I was younger, the record label, their job is to infiltrate. Their job is to infiltrate every genre of music. So, yeah, they'll let you preach a little gospel to them just to get on your album, just to get into that genre of music, just to get record sales. They don't care nothing about you planting no seeds. They're going to rip that seed up the very next moment they get out the booth singing praises to your God. No, they don't know their region, so their region can't be restored. Their DNA is of the world, and this is why the Bible tells us to come out from among them. The Bible tells us to what fellowship does light have with darkness? No, they don't want you to be light. They want you to be gray, or they want you to be dark. They want you to walk and flow into the kingdom of mixture. So because we're carnal and we're worldly, and because we have no power to change nothing and to make those things that be not as though they were, and we don't have no stick-to-itiveness to save ourselves from the untoward generation, we say, oh, I'll just link up with them. No, but you got to have a strategy. You got to have a strategy in order to change a pattern that's been set to come against you before you was even born. I hope somebody's hearing me today. You can't be a leader in a ministry and don't know your region and how people operate. Each city, again, just as a person, has a spiritual chromosome. They got DNA. It contains and transmits the hereditary pattern of that particular city. Just as the DNA of a person can be altered, the DNA of any given city can be altered as well. We got cloning now. We got cloning. We don't got real profits. We can make a profit over a weekend. Give me $125 and I can make you a profit. Give me $150 or maybe $200, I can make you an apostle over a weekend. All you got to do is take a couple courses. No, they're cloning people. It takes time to change and manipulate DNA because it's something that you're born with. It's something that is given into your creative ability to perform a function that was sent from God. And we're taking people over weekends at a time, and we think you're going to take six to nine month courses, and you're going to believe that you what God already called you to be. No, you need somebody that's going to instruct you. That's going to, you know, your calling is lifelong. Your calling is lifelong. That means you're going to always be learning something about yourself. You're going to be always learning something about your region. You're going to be always learning, and your region is always going to be transmitting something to you, and you got to be ready with your ears to the ground to listen to what thus said the Lord. The Bible, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says that Cain, Abel's blood, cried up from the ground and reached God's ear and said, vindicate me. Right now, the cry of innocent blood is coming out your city, and it's crying to the Lord, vindicate us. Right now, there are tsunamis. Right now, there is hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes waiting and rumbling and whirling. Why? Because the region is defending itself, because the sons of God don't have enough power to arise and restore that which was lost. Hallelujah. But we got people on the line tonight that is ready, that's stirred up, that's ready to go in and turn those things, their city, the people, places, and things that God's instructed to them back to God. Hallelujah. Regional restoration is the process of bringing the land and its people back into correct alignment to its divine order that was enacted by God. Come on, read Genesis chapter 1. God in beginning gave us dominion. Gave us dominion. The right to rule is what dominion means. Over everything he made. You can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 31. Sadly, now all that the good things that the Father has created and placed over plus us over now has gone bad and has dominion over us. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear what I just said? God gave us dominion in the beginning. He gave us the right to rule. But now the things that he placed us over have dominion over us. Instead of having a healthy relationship with all the animals and species, we lock them up in zoos. Because we are fearful that they're going to attack us. We act like animals as it relates to our behaviors. They're probably looking at us in our cages and saying, we coop the boot. We act like animals. We smell each other's behind. We do same-sex marriages and perverted acts of sexual immorality. We act just like the animals because the animal kingdom spirit has fallen upon us. The thing that we're supposed to have dominion over has dominion on us. The trees, we had pleasure. The trees, we had the pleasure of walking amongst to enjoy. Every fruit, we could just pick off and just eat it. I believe we could even back then communicate with the trees. The trees are living. Come on, the Bible says the rocks are living. If we shut our mouth today, the rocks will begin to cry out. The wood will begin to praise God. Every waving of a tree limb is a praise unto God's glory of his handiwork. The trees bow down. The mountains bow down. Everything in creation that God made is bowing down except for man. Because we have lost our understanding of who has made us and created after his likeness and in his image. The trees, we had the pleasure of walking amongst to enjoy. We had the pleasure of communicating with. Now the trees have dominion over us. Oh, God, we need to listen to this. The trees have dominion over us. How are you saying this, Apostle Gaskin? I'm going to tell you how. We got potheads. We got cocaine addicts. We got cigarette smokers. Come on, tobacco. Come on, nicotine. Even alcoholics. These transmissions truly reveal something has happened to the DNA of our region. The trees that we're supposed to have dominion over have dominion over us. Now we got to wear 36,000 patches all over our arm so we can stop smoking, so we don't get cancer. Where the trees have manipulated us, the weed has manipulated Mary J. Yeah, we are bound by the thing that we're supposed to have dominion over, because the region's DNA has been altered, it has been infiltrated, and it's been changed into the likeness of a force that is opposite of God. But God is raising us up, that he's delivering us from these addictions. He's delivering us from crack. He's delivering us from these synthetic drugs. You got Flocka out there. You got K2. You got a new drug called Crocodile that'll turn your skin green and make you peel your face off. Come on and hear me. The region needs to be changed. The region, the DNA, needs to be infiltrated by believers and infuse and impute the power of God. We need more than the logos. We need demonstration. Hallelujah. In order for the trees to bow down to God and to bow down to us, we need to stop smoking them. Oh, God. We got some preachers who, as soon as they link it with a certain point of their city, they start jonesing all again, all over again. They start itching and scratching because they're linked up with that addiction spirit in their region because they don't have enough power to change it. The prostitution ring, the drug houses, is celebrating 30 years of anniversary, the same as the church on the corner. Oh, we got this Ebenezer Baptist Church. We're celebrating 100 years in the community. Yeah, but you still got crack houses. You still got drugs. You still got tumbleweeds. You got 5, 6, 7, 8 churches on one block, and you can't even come together to produce change. Why? Because our DNA as a people has to be changed. The chromosomes that we're living in is not the chromosomes of God. I feel the Holy Ghost. We need to understand that God has given us a power to produce change. He's given us something called the anointing, the Holy Ghost, that when people see us, when places see us, when things see us, they respond. At least they're supposed to anyway. Why are you still smoking? Why are you still drinking? Why are you still fornicating? Why are we still lying? Why are we still gossiping? Why every time I get into a certain city, I'm jonesing now. I need to fornicate. How come every time I'm preaching, I'm getting a hard on? Hey, because the Holy Ghost is trying to reveal to you that you ain't preaching by my spirit. You preaching by the spirit of that region. Oh, God, you preaching by the spirit that's inside of you. And know you not to, that you got you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost doesn't make you do anything that is unseemly. So it's something in your region that's causing that thing inside of you to activate. You can't activate something that's dead. You can't activate something that ain't got no batteries. My God, Jesus, help us. As I stated before, it is now time for us to fulfill the prophetic word of the Lord, and that is to replenish and subdue our regions that we might properly become fruitful and multiply. The Bible told us to replenish and subdue. Why is it telling us to do that? Because we have been subdued. We have been overtaken. We look at the state of our nation. The state of our nation has become overtaken, and we're wondering why incidents like Houston, we're praying for Houston right now. We're wondering why we got the wildfires over on the West Coast. We're praying for them. We're wondering why we got Irma beating down our doors coming next week. Why? Because we have failed to repent. We fail to repent as a nation. We can't restore anything until God gives us repentance. And until we give God our hearts. As I stated before, I believe the spiritual DNA of a region contains chromosomes. These chromosomes are the makeup of the region that can be detected by uncovering of the spiritual climate, character, and the state of an area. I'm going to repeat this. The chromosomes of the region are the makeup of the region, and the makeup of the region can be uncovered by watching and looking at the climate, the character, and the state of the region. So I'm going to show you a little example. Let's utilize exploring history technique. Remember, we talked about using history. The technique discussed earlier, we want to use to give an example of how to expose a region's DNA. As a test subject, I want to use the region of Crete and unveil their spiritual DNA. I want to show you what Crete. I'm going to use Crete as an example, and I'm going to show you biblically how to discern and how to see the DNA of a region, the climate, the character, and the state. Crete was one of the cities of Apostle Paul's commission to one of his spiritual sons, Titus, to oversee. He was there to oversee, to establish order, and to raise up more leaders. We can find that in Titus 1 and 5. Well, we're going to watch and learn as we get to see what this young apostolic son had to go through and overseeing and establishing an apostolic work. Let me interject this. We got so many people running to the apostolic, running to the prophetic because they believe that they're the chief gifts. Do you understand the torment? Do you understand that the tribulation and the trial that an apostle has to go through? Do you understand that you are the least of the least? Do you understand that you're going to have to get your back walked on and your back talked out? Do you understand that people are going to try to seduce you and come after you? Why? Because you are trying to be the chief? Because you're trying to be on the rooftop? Because you're trying to be seen? You need your region restored. You need your DNA reconstructed because that is not what apostles do. True apostles always run from their calling. True prophets always deny their calling. But because you got a whole totally different makeup, you want to run to something that looks glittery. Titus, at a young age, was placed over a region that did not like him. At a young age, Timothy, at a young age, Jeremiah was sent into regions that was bent on their destruction. But you want to run after this stuff because the fivefold ministry has been made out of entertainers, out of clowns and magistrates and ringmasters for like circuses. But hey, Sarah, Sarah, what will be? Will be. Hallelujah. Titus had to oversee. He had to establish order. He had to raise up more leaders. Here's some history of Crete for you. Crete is an island that is located in the Mediterranean Sea, which made the region subject to all sorts of storms. Paul experienced the first part of the city's DNA firsthand when his ship was struck by a storm called Euroclydon, which means strong, violent wind. You can find that in Acts 27, 7 through 8, Acts 27, 12 through 14 and 21. The verse 4, I believe, in 27, chapter 27, said that Euroclydon was a female. She was a female water spirit. The Bible says that Paul said they gave her the control of the ship. They gave her the leeway of the ship and let her take the ship where she wanted to take it. It was a female marine spirit that was in the region of Crete, and it was there to stop Paul from an assignment to a barbaric people that was outside of God, that God had sent him and commissioned him to convert. But before Paul could even set on dry land, the region understood Paul's anointing, understood Paul's call, understood Paul's assignment, and tried to stop Paul. Come on here. The reason why a lot of you can't build, the reason why a lot of you are having so much trouble is because the region knows your assignment. and is sending all types of plagues and all types of climate and all types of rain and heat and pollen. Oh, I can't be in the church today. Oh, I can't go out and evangelize today because the pollen is so strong. You better rise up and rebuke that spirit that's trying to infect your nostrils and keep you locked and bound in your house because you're running from a tree. You're running from pollen. Come on here. You're supposed to have dominion over this stuff, but this stuff has dominion over you, and we can't even preach the gospel because it's raining outside. It's too hot outside. The climate, come on here. The spiritual and the natural climate of some of our regions are violent and hostile. Oh, it's raining today. It's too cold. You think the Bible says, thank you, Holy Ghost, the Bible says that there was 3,000, 5,000 people saved and brought into the body of Christ. Daily they was bringing people into the body of Christ. Why was it happening daily? It was happening daily because every day them little Jewish and Hebrew men probably half bald-headed, walking up and down cobblestones with canes and mitres, and then going and proclaiming the gospel and turning the world upside down. They didn't care about heat. They didn't care about cold. They didn't care about accusations. They didn't care about people beating them. They didn't care about people throwing stones on them. All they cared about was advancing the kingdom. Because they wasn't worried about the climate nor the culture that was coming against them. Their only passion and desire was to advance a kingdom that was inside of them. Lord, behold their threatenings, I heard the apostles say. Behold their threatenings, but give us more boldness to preach the gospel. Oh, it's cold outside. Yeah, you better get with the host of Jehovah. These Jehovah's Witnesses, they stand out on the corner. They might not say much nowadays. You know, they just pan out their little pamphlets. They stand there and let you grab them. But every day, somebody's out there in the rain, under their umbrella. Every day, somebody's out there in the heat, drinking water. They carpool together. They get out there, the Muslims get out there on the side of the road and hand out water and hand out their newspaper with their little bow ties. But the Christians, oh no, we're too good. We're too good for the heat. We're too good for the cold. Why? Because the climate has locked us down. Where are the prophets that can speak to the climate and tell it not to rain until we finish by evangelizing? Where is the prophets and the apostles that can speak to storms and say, peace be still, and you will not rain, and you will not, your winds will not blow until we finish this campaign, until we finish this convention? Where are the fivefold ministry? Where are the leaders, hallelujah, that are going to stand up and restore our rightful dominion rights and restore that which was lost to the kingdom inhabitants in the earth? Come on and hear me on this line tonight. We need to restore the regional DNA, but we have to be restored ourselves first. Crete is also identified with Capitor, the place of the origin of the Philistines, the home of the Cephalites that had association with the Philistines. The Philistines are the ones who constantly fought against God and his people. Philistines comes from a Greek word meaning to roll in the dust, to roll or wallow in self. The Philistines had five giants, Nephilims, if you will, at their disposal. They had Goliath and his four brothers. Each Cretan legend, even the Cretan legend, says that Crete was governed or ruled and steered by King Minos and the Minotaur, a half bull and half man monster. Come on here. Why is everybody getting their septums pierced, walking around looking all bullheaded? Why? Because there's a spirit governing the region. There's a spirit telling them and speaking to them to pierce this part of their body, to pierce their navel, to pierce their bodies and put markings all over their bodies. This is why it's okay for preachers to get up with tight suits on and walk around and preach and tell you it's okay to get tattoos, because the region that they're living in, because the spiritual DNA that their region has changed them, has converted them. They're no longer angels for God and ministers of fire and ministers of flame, but they're angels of light, deceiving many, seducing many to follow after them instead of the following after God. Their city has engulfed them and changed them from the likeness and the image of God into something that is false and antichrist. Same here, the climate is changing. This view of Crete's history shows the spiritual character of Crete, boastful, tormenting, prideful, rebellious. They're turning people into monsters. We're turning people to make them boastful. They're turning people and they're tormenting people with their doctrine, with their clothes, with their seduction. I can't even go to a service without seeing a man genital in my face. I can't even go into a service or the church or walk down the street with a woman's breast, without her breast and cleavage hanging all out. Why? They're tormenting us because there's a spirit of lust in the region. There's a spirit of lust in the church, and it's causing that lust to torment those that are trying to stay saved. The Bible said, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? I feel the Holy Ghost. But there's a tormenting lust. There's a tormenting fire. There's a tormenting desire that's keeping the people from living holy. Why? Because the character, the spiritual character of that region, of that city, of that church, of that people has not changed. So they're prideful. They're rebellious. Come on, Crete was captured by the Romans in 66 and 68 B.C. and made a Roman province. History tells us that whenever a land and or people are taken over by another, that particular region is made to take on the practices, the laws, and the customs of the conquering foe. You can read that in Deuteronomy 7 and 1 through 4. So whatever captures you, you have to take on that spirit's practices, laws, and customs. So when you run to that church that's being led by a seducing pastor and it overtakes you, you take on their practices, you take on their laws, you take on their customs. So if they got tattoos, you start getting tattoos. So if they got tight pants and tight dresses, you got tight pants and tight dresses. If they believe in sex before marriage, you're going to believe in sex before marriage. If they are performing anal sex and oral sex in their marriage and don't think it's wrong, then that's what you're going to start doing. You're going to take on the character of the region you live in. I need you to hear me. This tells us the spiritual state of a region, bound and captive. The spiritual DNA or chromosomes that were transmitting in the region were boastful, tormenting, strong, and hostile, violence, pride, rebellion, and captivity. This was the DNA that Crete was transmitting. Boastfulness, tormenting, strong, hostile, violence, pride, rebellion, and captivity. This was the DNA of Crete. And the strength of Crete's DNA was so powerful that even though the Cretans had an encounter with God's power at the day of Pentecost, the region's DNA, through time and opportunity, slowly transformed the people back into liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Come on here. Acts 2, 1 through 11 said the Cretans were part of the nations that was at the day of Pentecost. Yeah, these are not lit as you suppose. Yeah, these are not lit or drunk as you suppose. They're working under another charisma. They're not working under the anointing of God. They're working under clairvoyance. This is why they can shout all day at church. This is why they can fall out all day and all night at church and go home and still beat their wives and still be evil beasts and liars and slow bellies and lazy and procrastinating and fornicating. Why? Because the spiritual state of those individuals, of a people, of a city, of a region has not changed. It's still bound. It's still captive. And we are settling for encounters. We're settling for experiences. We're settling for all these types of visitations. But we don't want habitation. We don't want God to dwell in us. We don't want God to dwell in our cities, because for God to dwell in our cities means we're going to be held accountable for how we live. Titus, he said, even your prophets in Crete said that your prophets said that the people are liars, sow bellies, and evil beasts. How is it that you just experienced God? How is it that you just been shouting for 2 to 4 hours? How is it that you just came out of a gospel concert? How is it that you just got finished hearing the word, but you go home and you still act the same way you act before you left? Your DNA is not changed. If not dealt with, the regional DNA can infiltrate the life of an individual and cause them to do its bidding. This statement can be revealed through the transmitting patterns within the life of one of our greatest biblical patriarchs, Joseph. Joseph went from dreaming and interpreting dreams of Pharaoh and his subjects sent from the Lord to divination and witchcraft for Pharaoh. He went from having dreams. Joseph never had to divinate. He never had to work through divination. All he had to do was go to sleep, and God would give him a dream. All he had to do was stay in God's presence, and God would give him a vision. Now, all of a sudden, he's dividing out of a cup. Come on, you better read Genesis 43. You better read Genesis 45, 44, and 5. You better read it. Because Joseph stayed in Egypt for so long that Egypt's practices became part of his life. You can stay inside of a region or a city, overstay your time there, and the God's grace will remove off of your life, and you'll find it harder and harder to live holy. You'll find it harder and harder to do what God told you to do. You'll find yourself doing what the Joneses do. You'll find yourself doing what Romans do. You know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. Joseph began to change. Joseph began to take on the practices of Egypt and Pharaoh, working in witchcraft and divination. This transformation caused not only his family, but also the entire house of Israel to be captive of Egypt for 400 years, all due to the alteration of God, the God of his godly makeup through time. So not only was Joseph captive, but the house of Israel and all the entire house, Joseph's entire house was captive in Egypt for 400 years, 430 years, all because witchcraft hadn't been broken out of that line. Well, where did Joseph get the witchcraft from? He got it from his daddy. He got it from his daddy and his mama. Come on, the Bible says that Rachel stole her daddy's gods. She said stole her daddy's gods and took her daddy's gods into the land that God sent him. What do you think idolatry is? Idolatry is part of the system of witchcraft. Come on, Rachel and Leah worked witchcraft on Joseph. But with the mandrake leaves, how did they get that? Because the region produced something and gave to them their heart's desire to produce children that they could not produce until God opened up their womb. And they used that system of witchcraft and manipulation and made Joseph out of an escort. He goes to sleep with Rachel, and next thing you know, Rachel say, nah, buddy, you got to go sleep with Leah. They pimped him out. They pimped Joseph out over a piece of a tree, over something that they were supposed to have dominion over. Now they're working witchcraft and manipulation, sexual magic on the person that God calls to be in their life to bring fruit and have it multiply. Y'all better hear me tonight. As believers, we must understand two important factors in the kingdom as it relates to kingdom enlargement. First, we are in spiritual conflict with the entire region, not with just people. Secondly, and most importantly, we must not settle for the visitation of the Lord. We must make our homes, families, communities, cities, and beyond conducive for the habitation of the Lord. Through prayer and through teaching, preaching and the demonstration of God's word, we will answer the cry and fulfill the expectation of the earth that awaits for the sons and daughters of God to manifest. We gotta understand that our hearts would burn with restoring our regions. If our hearts would just burn with restoring our regions, the heaven, even the heavens will open up. We will realize that God taken the heavens for himself, but the earth he has given to us as the children of men. We cannot fail or falter in letting the spirit of restoration fall upon us in this hour. We need to take it and embrace it and get a passion and get a drive and get some tenacity and move forward in restoring what the enemy has destroyed. My time is up. But I heard the Bible say, again, in Psalms 115 and 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. We're not going to be held accountable for how we pastor our churches, but we're going to be held accountable for how we pastor our cities. We have got to do much better. And I want to, right now, I want to open up the lines of communication. If you have any questions, I'm done. If you have any questions, any concerns, any comments, I want to leave the line open for you to make them at this time. Thank you so much. We're going to restore the regional DNA.
Restore it.
Find out the climate, character, and the state. Yes.
I think God set this show up just for me. But if anyone else out there, go ahead and dial one. Get involved in the conversation tonight. I know you've been touched. I know you have been confronted. I know you have been challenged to go to another level, because the enemy doesn't play. And this is, we have to look at it from this area. You said so many things that I know a lot of our covenant partners are like, wow, these guys talk daily about positioning and about knowing your call and about being in the right area that you know how to handle. Oh, my God, I'm so blessed. Someone else out there, go ahead and dial one. Pastor DeWayne, I know you are you're restoring some regional DNA up there in Wisconsin. Welcome to Let's Talk Jesus. Pastor D, see, I told y'all I'll throw you under the bus. Area code 386. I know he's probably just had his phone muted, but area code 386, last four, 9522. You're live here with Apostle Dietrich. Good afternoon or good evening.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, hello.
This is Tamara Williams from Lakewood, Florida.
How you doing, sis? How you doing, sis? How you doing?
I'm doing good, and Apostle, you've truly blessed me tonight and opened my eyes to a lot of things, restoring the region and understanding a lot of what's going on in our region in Lake City, Florida, and I just thank you for the information and knowledge tonight.
Awesome. I'm very appreciative of you being on the line. Listen, I'm still geeking off of what happened a few weeks ago. The word of the Lord came to us in Lake City a few weeks ago and said that God was making us overcomers of financial bondages. And you know what the first thing he did? That was Sunday. And the Lord told us to all plant a seed, man of God. He told us to all plant a seed as much as we could. And some people gave $5. Some people gave $100. But we planted. And before the week was out, we had testimony over testimony over testimony of financial bondages being broke. And the first testimony, one of the greatest, was in the newspaper of Lake City, Florida. It said that all the internet gambling stations was shut down. Every single one of them, all of the places, stores that had internet gambling was shut down. That internet gambling had people addicted to gambling and giving out their money, but all of them were shut down because of the spoken word of the Lord. This is why that we need regional restoration. We need to change the DNA. When the DNA is changed, the whorehouse is shut down. When DNA is changed, the crack house is shut down. When DNA has changed, the clubs and the bars, they're converted to churches and community centers. Jesus. Come on here.
Hey.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord put a word in my mouth that went in that change in people.
Yeah.
So, Sister Pam, I, woman of God, I appreciate you tonight. Thank you for being on the line. You have any questions, other comments? I appreciate it.
No, sir. I was writing so fast, my head was standing apart. And I appreciate you.
Amen. I think this was recorded, so if you didn't get all the notes, you can listen back to it.
Okay, yes, sir.
Yes, every broadcast is archived forever, and we have that link available for anyone. Anyone else want to get involved in this conversation, come on, get involved. But I'll tell you this, that the teaching and the word that is going forward is so valuable for each and every one of us to grow and to go back into those really things. I mean, you look at we always look at the good part of the Joseph story, but man, you uncovered some things that made people see that there was a lot of demonic forces involved, even though it helped the children of Israel get through. But what they had to go through to get there could have been overlooked just by following God. Minister Terry, good evening, woman of God. Welcome to Restoring Regional DNA with Apostle Dietrich.
Good evening. Good evening, beautiful family. I have to just commend you, Apostle Dietrich. Awesome, awesome, awesome word here. What really stuck to me, resonated in my heart, was convert and don't compromise. I tell you, regional DNA. Ooh, Jesus. You said a lot. You said a lot. And I like when you were talking about Philadelphia has one-way streets, because I know we grew up in Compton, and Compton has a lot of one-way streets. But there's always a way out, no matter what street you're on. The way out is through him, and that's up. So praise God. And the caller before was saying she probably missed some things, but I thank God because we do have the archives where we can go back and listen, because you gave so much tonight that I'm looking forward to going back and getting a replay on this so I can take deeper notes. God bless you, and you keep doing what you're doing. God bless you, man of God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. Glory be to God. Amen.
Bless you, Minister Terry.
Thank you, Pastor E. Love you guys, family.
What's the word?
Ooh, what's the word? You know what the word. The word is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise him.
The word was?
Yes.
And the word is?
And the word is. And always be. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you, sister.
God bless you, family. Love you all.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Still got a couple more minutes. Anyone else? Now there. I know there's one person on this broadcast today. Now you may be listening to us online, or you may be listening to us through our app, through the Now Radio for You app on Apple and on Android. You can still dial in for prayer if you have listened to this mighty man of God tonight. You say, "Wow, I've been on the middle of the fence trying to pull over, and this word here brought me here, and I need to know more about how can I be like this? How can I be more committed? How can I be more about my Father's business?" Dial one. Call that number right now, 319-527-6173. If you're online, you must call us to get in. Dial one, and we can get you in. And if you're on the app, you also have to call in to get in to this conversation. But man of God, I don't even have a word to put on it, how God just releases. There it is. That's the word, how he releases through you. And it's so resonant to my spirit, because I do pray and I do study, and I am thinking about the DNAs and the fibers and the lengths, the widths, the depths, and the spiritual separations from the physical. And when you get to speaking, I'm always blessed. So man, God bless you, man. And I know he is about to do a great thing in Virginia. You on the move now. You got settled. Here comes the work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Need some help? I'd be there in about 3 days if I drop. 4 days.
Well, and we ain't gonna let you drive, man. We ain't gonna let you drive. We ain't gonna get that driving spirit. We'll try to fly you out or something. Or at least meet you halfway, you know.
We'll talk offline. I'm looking at some things in the Houston area. We have a heavy connection there on all ends of Houston. As a matter of fact, I was there during Harvey. We were doing a conference there. I am fivefold, no limits. And on night three, it was just on the pulpit. You could hear it outside, but we continued, and we couldn't do Friday. And then they wanted me to come back and do Sunday, three services, the 8:30, 10:30, 12:30. But by the time 6:30, it was water everywhere. No, it was unmovable. No one could move in that city. And so looking to be back in that region for some cleanup and some other things that we could help. We have a hub there. As a matter of fact, if anybody on this line is saying, what can I do in Houston? I want to know that what I'm giving and what I'm sowing into is really happening. We have a hub in Acres Homes. Ricky Bradford Ministries is our partner there, and many other churches that are helping. I'm not throwing names out there, but I just to get in contact and want to know where to connect. We have a on ground where it can really affect the people that you don't see on TV. So get in touch with me in that area. But my brother, I've seen some things, and I'm just waiting for God to launch the next move for me, you, and another friend of mine.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm down, brother.
Oh, I know.
The kingdom.
So yes,
let's,
sir.
Let's do it. Yes, there's nothing to it but to do it. I'm just really appreciative,
right,
you know, of the opportunities.
Well, we're christening this Monday night that it's not Let's Talk Jesus anymore. We're going to definitely dedicate this to the app and let you grow this Monday into what is already being flourished by God. So.
Amen.
That was just given in the spirit tonight. So thank God for you, man. Pray us out of here. There's no other callers.
Yes.
You still can dial one. It's not too late. You may just need prayer. Dial one. You may not know him as your personal savior. We can get you there real fast. Dial one and come on in. But other than that, man, God bless you, man. We'll talk to you real soon. And man, you know,
Amen.
Know that we love you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I just want to keep in mind, keep me in prayers. You know, got things coming up this month. We have a 5GN, Five Grace Network, where we're equipping the house and perfecting God's people in Georgia. This will be our fifth campaign with this particular gathering, dealing with fivefold ministry, raising up, developing, and deploying new and fresh voices for the 21st century as it relates to the grace gifts. And we're strengthening and giving upgrades to those who are already established in the region of Georgia. So we're going to have some great time September 22nd to the 23rd. It'll be in Valdosta, Georgia. So if you're out there, come on and see. It's a free event, a free gathering. We're going to get a lot of training, a lot of affirmations, and we're going to do a lot of Q&A. You know, so come, of course, bring your questions.
Yes.
It's very, very social. We're not them type of people where, you know, we're going to be preaching and yelling and screaming at you for 2 hours. You know, we want to engage you. We want you to engage us so you can learn even the more. I was scheduled to be in North Carolina this weekend, but unfortunately we had to push it back and cancel it because the host had to get some surgery done. So we want to continue to pray for a prophetess blessing game over in Charlotte, North Carolina. Praying her strength that she would begin to have a speedy recovery. And just keep me in prayer. If you want to donate, you can definitely hit me on my PayPal. At PayPal email is Kairos, KAIROSINTTC at live.com. Or you can do a Cash App with the $, KAIROSINTTC. Definitely look us up online at www.kairosinternationaltc.org, or you can just hit me up on the inbox on Facebook, and I would definitely speak to you. I'm not one of those people, leaders, that are antisocial, but I try to speak to everyone who speaks to me. And so if you reach out and I don't reach out right soon, Just give me a little time. I go through each of my inboxes and I personally respond, so I don't have no automated response system. I don't have people talking for me or anything of that nature. But just continue to keep me up in prayer that I might continue to do the work that the Lord has called me to do. And we'll see you back next month on At the Mention, where the apostolic prophetic teaching grounds you to further you.
Yes, yes. Hey, we do have one other caller slipped in. Yes. I think this is a prayer call here. Area code 216, last 43751. You are live with Apostle Dietrich.
Yes, praise God. I just heard the show, and I just wanted to call in for some prayer, and I'm praying more of where I'm not being confused what my purpose and direction is, and I'm calling mainly for discernment of what God's purpose is, and I'm just praying on that, and just praying for more love in the atmosphere, what I need in my environments and wherever I go. So I'm just praying for that.
Okay, no problem, man. God, what's your name?
Wow. I almost fell over, but you kind of answered your own question.
Yeah.
You said you were looking for more purpose, but you want more love in the atmosphere. That's your purpose, is to draw more love and to preach more love and to profess more love. And oh my God, is that a starting point?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
I guess partial of it is I feel like I'm being attacked, and I don't know if it's because I want to show the love and I'm, or people are not understanding me, and I feel like I'm being, sometimes it's like a confusion with people, just trying to sometimes just getting them to understand me, and you know, I don't mean any harm or anything.
Right.
You know, we all have a different and unique how we, you know, spread our words. And
man, I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let Apostle Dietrich get in on this, but you are under attack. There's no question about it. It's not like it's a seasonal thing when you are a soldier in this position. You are under attack. There's no question about it. But what do you do in the attack is what's the most important thing, to not look at what's coming, but what you're doing to get through. Because I know for me, that was my biggest turn point in ministry, is to just take up that cross daily, knowing that there are obstacles before me. But am I going to go around or go through? See, going through is accepting that they're there. But I know that by Him, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Apostle.
You got to also realize, man of God, that the fulfillment of Scripture is over our generation at this point. The Bible says that the love of many will wax cold, and men will not endure sound doctrine. And one of the soundest, most stable part of our doctrine is the doctrine of love. And love is God, and God is love. And those who don't love don't know Him, the Scripture says. So yeah, you're going to be attacked because you're trying to give something to a people that they don't want. They don't want the love. They don't want you. You know, it's hard to say good morning to some people. You know what I mean? You go to work,
my
and
God.
You're like, good morning.
Ooh,
you got a smile on your face, and that's the end. Oh, people like they want to chop you up and kill you. I'm like, wait a minute. All
that's
I said was
down.
God bless you. You know, but it's a fulfillment of the Scripture, and you can't take these things personal. And this is the, I believe, a word of wisdom for you. Don't take things personal. Understand that the Bible says that forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know why they do what they do.
Yeah.
Because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places, and rulers of darkness, dominions and thrones. People, you come around with this love message, and people will automatically, who will smile in your face one day, will automatically start hating you the next, because it's something in them that doesn't like what's in you. The Bible says that men run from the light. Hallelujah. Run from the light, because the light reproves it of his deed. That means every time you come around them, brother, something wakes up in them and gets angry with you, because you are a walking, talking reproach. You are walking, talking reprimand. Every time you come around them, they feel corrected. They see what they're not doing. They see that they're not living right. They see they're not actually walking in love, and you remind them of that. And this is why it seems like you can't even get words together, because it's so confused. Your mind gets so confused because these witchcraft, mind-blocking, mind-binding spirits that were sent out in the atmosphere that could keep people's mouths shut or keep them from being able to form completed sentences and keep them from being able to distribute and administer the gospel effectively, so your word will have none effect. But I pray and I break and I bind the spirit of mind blocking and mind binding, all those spirits of confusion, all those that lack of that short term memory. You know what to say, but every time you get ready to say it, it kind of removes itself from you. I speak to your memory, and I command it to be healed in Jesus' name. All the trauma, any past trauma that will cause your memory to be lapsed. In Jesus' name, I break that pattern off of your life, and you will be able to speak what thus saith the Lord with clarity, with wisdom. For he that wins a soul must be wise, and wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. I speak that into your spirit. I speak that it is all as well, peace. I come against all the torment of the trial and the tribulation of the storms that will try to come and beat you and keep you from advancing the kingdom of love in your city and in your community. I see four people right in your neighborhood that need this love message. They need the love message. I see you opening up your home just to serve them some soup, just to serve them some food, and you just sit there with them. You just sit there and talk with them and show them the love of God. Show them the love of God.
Yes, Lord.
And from those four people, I'm telling you, a little revival, a little brush fire is going to happen. It's going to come up, and it's going to start spreading. Hallelujah. And God is going to blow on that brush fire, and that fire is going to start spreading, and more people are going to want the love. Why? Because love is what's needed. Love is what's needed. Yeah. It's the foundation of our ministry. Love is the foundation. We don't cast out devils because we hate demons. We cast out devils because we love the soul. It's love that casts out devils. It's not hatred. It's love that heals the sick. It's not anger. It's love that raises the dead. It's not just it's not aggravation. It's love that is the basis of our ministry. Hallelujah! It's the greatest message that you can ever have. It's the message of love because perfected love. Hallelujah! I pray that you would get perfected love. Whole love is what casts out all fear. So
yes,
I speak that word of encouragement into you, brother. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, yes. I receive every last part of this word, every last word that you just touched on, brother. And I just want to know that I'm not alone.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not alone. The whole world.
Okay, don't throw my hand in there. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, the whole Christian community that is preaching a love gospel is experiencing what you experience right now. The enemy is trying to mess up the frequencies and the transmissions between those who would love God and God who God loves. So we can be distraught in our message, so we can be weary in our well doing, so we never faint. So we never reap.
Yeah.
Because we keep feigning, but the spirit of the quitter is not upon me, and it's not going to be upon you. You're going to reap what you sow. And if you sow love, guess what you're going to get in return? Love, because he gives seed to the sower.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And remember this, my brother. Things happen because Jesus is trying to draw us nearer. And it takes drastic measures to get drastic actions. I mean, he said what? He said Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all that you and that who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest." But you first gotta come to him. And so I know, even for me, my situations make me go draw closer to Jesus, and that's where I can find that perfect rest, that perfect peace, and know that he knows the plans he has for me. I have to look at what other people are saying and how obstacles are coming against me. If I really believe the word of God, he says, "I know the plans I have for you," talking personal.
Yes. Yeah.
And he declared it.
My God.
And I have to stand in that position
good and
know that it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be sunshine. But if I know that he knows the plans he has for me, I better know him too.
Yes.
I know that's right.
Hallelujah.
That's real talk.
And my faith, and believe me, my faith has been tested at times, but I still hold on to what God's purpose is, because it's nothing but love. And I know, as you mentioned, as you pray for me, it just settled with me based on what you said, because, you know, it's a lot of people, they don't know how to take love, and they don't know how to, you know, just hold on or just be talked to in their situation where you can just, you know, command it and say, look, you know, let it be and let it go. And understand that the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, meekness, kindness, all of these things have to follow, and it will come through and it'll come to pass. So I just thank you for this prayer.
But I'll help you with one other thing before we leave tonight. Do you know that 90% of the world don't really know true love? Most of us deal with hurt love, deceiving love, manipulating love, taking advantage of love. But until you really know the love of God, see, that's where we get to really ministry, because if I can preach love, I'm telling you, not my type of love, because my type of love will ruin you. I heard a lot of people with my type of love. I've had a lot of destroyed situations with my type of love. But when I really learned to love God the way he loved me, now I can love people, because it takes me out of the equation. And I know that it's God's love. Apostle said it from the beginning. What was the first thing you learned about God? He is love. And if love is not involved in it, then you really got to say that God is not involved in that situation, because God is love. And anything not loving, God won't be a part of it.
That's right.
Amen.
The motive of it has to be
love. Let's preach for love. And let's show that love isn't physical. Love isn't attraction. It's not the five senses of I love you because how you smell. I love you because how you look. I love you because what you sound like. I love you because that's the way you taste. I love you because that's what I see. No, I love you because of the Spirit of God has taught me to really love spiritually.
Yeah.
Bless you, my brother.
Thank you, brother, for coming on. I appreciate you. Thank you.
God bless you, man.
I thank you all, friend. God bless you all.
All right, bro. God bless you, man of God. It's been great tonight. We look forward to the first of next month. And like I said, I'm going to talk to you offline probably tomorrow. And we'll just keep moving. God bless you, man.
God bless you. Talk to you soon. God bless.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Family, you are loved. You are honored. You are appreciated. But most of all, you are beautifully made by God. Don't let nobody else tell you anything different. Become your own coach. Become your own encourager. Become your own minister. And yes, preach the word of God to yourself and watch God move like never before. Thanks. God bless you. Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at provoke2000now.com to make all financial donations. provoke2000now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.